Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Hey everybody, welcome back to a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, A.P. Fuchs. And what makes this special episode for this is that we're going to be using new tech to record the episode. That's right, yesterday I got a new phone because I had to take the other one back. It was part of a return to the phone policy at the end of your contract kind of thing. It was a money saver in the beginning. Actually, I ended up doing the same thing with this unit that I have right now because it costs a fortune otherwise, and I don't have the money for that. So, yeah. So anyway, we're on a new phone recording this. So I'm hoping for those watching on YouTube that you're getting a clearer picture. And for those listening in, I'm hoping that you're getting a clearer audio from the new tech. So, you know, leave a comment and let me know if you notice a difference. All right, so here we go. So let's get into it. So I finally saw Blue Beetle, and I'll tell you, I really liked it. It was really good. I went into it just expecting sort of a middle-of-the-road superhero movie. I didn't expect anything more than standard good guy versus bad guy stuff. And in the end, I was surprised. I got a really great movie out of it. I mean, like the very, very, very basic plot of the movie, the very, very bottom line core storyline, that was very traditional. That was very simple. Like, the good guy has something that the bad guy wants, ergo the bad guy goes after the good guy, and there's a big fight, and there's your climax, and there's your ending. That was the baseline of the movie, right? So that part was very traditional. In terms of the movie itself, what sprung out of that traditional storyline, that very basic storyline, was something wonderful. It was a movie loaded with heart, loaded with love, loaded with family. And, you know, I mean, I'm a white guy. I'll be honest, I'll talk racial stuff for a second here, and disclaimer, don't get offended, really, like, just come on. Like, I'm a white guy, so, like, I'm obviously born into privilege simply by being white, right? And as a white person, we have certain ways we do things. We live in where I live is very multicultural, but in general, a white majority society, and we live a white lifestyle. And what was cool about Blue Beetle was we got to see another culture living their life, and they live it differently, you know, than we do, and that's great. I mean, I really enjoy, as a person, I really enjoy other cultures displaying their cultural backgrounds, their beliefs, their traditions, their food, their dress, all sorts of things. And, you know, in this movie, it was very much about family. It had multi-generational household, meaning grandma was living in the home as well, which is common outside of white society. Typically speaking, I'm broad brushing it. And, you know, so they had that aspect to it, which was neat because that brought a sense of unity to the home in the show. And, yeah, I mean, the bickering, the bantering back and forth between family members is great. And then even when the Blue Beetle stuff started to happen and kicked in to gear, it was really well done in terms of the origin and how, in my opinion, you would react if the scarab, the Blue Beetle scarab, started to bond with you, and how you would be physically, like, they show it physically on him, and it's a bit, I would say, off-putting, but that's how it look, you know. And so they showed that, and then, of course, like, the original transformation from human form into the Blue Beetle armor slash alien tech slash almost organic way of the way the suit materializes on him. And I mean, that part was all well done. His reaction to his powers, you know, when he started learning about them and like, this is what I can do, that was well done as well. You know, in terms of like, and what I liked about it too is at the end, like, I'm not trying to give away spoilers, but at the end, it wasn't your standard, I'm going to go up against a huge bad guy who's way more powerful than me, and the bad guy is like bent on evil and destruction, and you know, I got to go stop him, kind of, like, you know, that traditional superhero trope. In this one, at the end, the bad guy, the big fight, was along those lines, but he didn't fight the main bad. He fought like a foot soldier of her, and that worked. And that worked really well, and the fighting was great. I mean, I can never pronounce his name correctly, but Zolo Maridura or Maridura, sorry, Zolo, for saying your name incorrectly. I mean, I love him as an actor. You know, he's Miguel in Cobra Kai, so very familiar with him. He's a good actor. You know, I mean, the downside when I was watching Blue Beetle was, yes, I was seeing Miguel from Cobra Kai, but that's just where I knew him from. But that's just me. That's just my point of view. Brain space kind of thing. But anyway, the point is, when it came to the action, I mean, Zolo in real life is a martial artist, right? And he's good at what he does. And so I suspect that when Blue Beetle was fighting the bad guys in the various scenes and doing the punches and the kicks and all that stuff, I don't think they had hired a double for that. I'm pretty sure it was him. Because, I mean, like, why hire a double if you could do it yourself and do it fine, you know, and do it choreographed, and you could do it where they pull their punches and kicks, you know, so you don't hurt the other guy, but yet it looks real on screen and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, kudos to him. Like, he, you know, his acting throughout the movie was great. He has a way about him that is very natural in terms of how he reacts to things, like the way he is in Cobra Kai and the way he is in Blue Beetle. Just the different circumstances that come up, his reactions when he gets flustered or upset, or when he's happy, or when he puts on the charm, or, you know, that kind of stuff. He has a way of doing it that's just, it suits him, it suits his personality, it suits whatever character he's playing. So, yeah, Blue Beetle was great. I don't want to give too much away, that's why I'm not talking too much about all the Blue Beetle stuff, because I don't want to spoil that for you. Probably by the time you listen to this, you're going to say, I already saw it. But, yeah, I mean, and Blue Beetle's costume was great. It was practical looking, but at the same time, it wasn't over the top. It wasn't also overly detailed. It was interesting. It was like a combination of a sleek supersuit with some armor bulk put on top of it. But the armor bulk part, the blue parts that were on him, though they were, you know, 3D protruding from the body like a piece of armor, it wasn't like a football player, you know, where it's all clunky and heavy and awkward. You know, it was actually quite, it suited the design of the suit. Even the armor was sleek in its own way, and of course his mask. I loved his mask, and I loved the way that when he spoke, while the mask was on, the mask moved. And we're not talking like Spider-Man style, where it's, you know, piece of fabric over your face. So of course it's gonna move when you just have fabric on your face. But he had, like, you know, sort of this armored mask, and yeah, it moved, you know, the jawline moved up and down when he spoke, and that part was neat. You don't see that with we'll call it helmeted heroes, you know. So they did a good job with that, and for me as a fanboy, that gives hope for when eventually, hopefully, they do Batman Beyond as a feature film, because Batman Beyond's mask, like, he has a mouth, Yeah, it's all black, and he's covered. He puts the mask over his head, and yet he can somehow talk through it without showing skin. I don't know how that works. But it gives me hope that they'll be able to make that look good once that gets produced. Anyway, I've been rambling about Blue Beetle for a good while now. It's been almost 10 minutes, so I'll stop there. And I wanted to just, on the creative front, I wanted to talk about the special edition of Frozen Storm that Jeff Burton and I did for our Frozen Storm Kickstarter a good while back. There's very few copies of this collectible hardcover left. I wanted to say that it's special because, again, it's a lettered edition, which means there's only 26 copies produced, one for each letter of the alphabet. The one I'm holding in my hands is letter number, pretty sure it's letter M, and it is. And it's signed by both Jeff and I, which, behind the scenes was a bit of a thing because Jeff lives in a different province, so there's a lot of shipping of books back and forth, and books are very, very heavy, therefore shipping them was not cheap. And so it took a bit of a toll, but a good thing we had you guys as Kickstarter backers to help us fund that. This edition comes with a special inside plate on the inside of it, with a special picture of Aurora Man and Axiom Man together that I drew, and it has all the copyright info. It's a really cool looking piece of art. And this book is a special book in that way. It's my first superhero book that's ever been produced as an exclusive hardcover. And it's, if you hear that, that's a gloss laminate hardcover there. And it's my first time with a superhero book and making a special edition of it. We're talking outside of the Axiom Man 10th Anniversary Special Edition, which was a paperback. This is the first time I made like a collectible superhero fiction piece. And it's gone over well. People have been picking it up, and it's a way for them to have a one-of-a-kind item on their super shelf, so to speak. And so thank you for those who picked copies up. Those who want copies, just go to canisterx.com or apfuchs.ca. Either way, take it to the same place. Go to the specialty shop, order your copy. Grab it now because there's literally like a handful left, if that. And once they're gone, that's it. And they're gone. So please consider that. And in the future, yeah, I might do another, collectible hardcover of super fiction. I'm not sure which one or how or who or what or anything like that. That's just a back of the head idea at this point. But it's just something to look forward to. And creating it, the creative angle, it's different creating a hardcover for press than it is creating a paperback for press. And so it's a good experience as a creator for me to do things that way, to try something new and get things looking good for you, the reader. So anyway, yes, Frozen Storm, special lettered edition. Grab your copy, apfuchs.ca or canisterx.com. Go to the specialty shop. It's there. Add it to your cart. Grab your copy now. And if there's a letter of the alphabet that you want specifically, ask. There's a little box in the ordering thing for comments, so you could ask, can I please have letter L or something? And if it's available, it's yours. If it's not available, I get back to you and say, here's the letters I have, pick one. And you can make a choice from there. So anyway, we're going to get on to story time. It's been about 14 minutes, and so we're going a bit long on this one. And enjoy the following story. And then, of course, as always, stick around till after the credits, because why? We have a little bit of tidbit info at the end. So we'll see you there. Here we go.
Episode 14, Woodchip Stirring. Daniel had bought Shelly the gerbil for two reasons. One, it was their 6-month anniversary. Two, he felt sorry for it. No one wanted it because of how ugly it was. Shelley had named the gerbil Befriend, because that's what she and Daniel had been before they started dating. Best friends. Befriend was small, fitting into the palm of your hand perfectly, with light tufts of beige fur around its neck, nearly hiding her tiny face. Her body, however, looked as if it had been doused in oil, its golden fur matted in clumps in a deep tan color. Daniel had also bought Befriend a cage, but, when assembling it, he accidentally broke the door. He told Shelley not to worry, as he would replace it when he came by tomorrow. It was night, and Shelley was in bed. Eyes closed, the last thing she heard before falling asleep was Befriend squeaking in her cage and moving amongst the wood chips. Shelley dreamed she was in Befriend's cage with her, wandering around the wood chips like a child in an amusement park. Befriend was nowhere to be seen. Hiding in the wood chips, Shelley assumed. Just then, her mouth filled with a sensation of fur, her tongue rubbed against the roof of her mouth, trying to work the hair off. She gagged and spat, and thought it was nothing. She knew she was dreaming, and strange things happened in dreams. A sharp pang hit her throat, a lump somewhere in her esophagus, soft and spongy. It worked its way down. Shelley swallowed, forcing the lump down. She cleared her throat. Befriend, where are you, girl? There was a stirring in the wood chips. Then there was a stirring in her stomach. A prick, like a needle puncturing the inside of her stomach, suddenly caused her to stop moving. Ooey, she said. Ooey was her word for ouch. The prick came again, and so did a sharp scraping, something tearing at the interior lining of her stomach. And it wasn't just one sharp scrape, it was two, like two tiny nail heads scratching her internally. Shelley fell to her knees, the pain red in her imagination, her eyes blurring over with tears. Ooey. She put her hands to her stomach and felt something moving within. The coppery taste of blood filled her mouth. The scratching increased. She heard her stomach tearing inside her head. Then it stopped. She breathed a sigh of relief and fell to her side. The scratching resumed, and soon the movement in her stomach spread, the lump moving deeper into her, in between the muscles and organs, poking and pricking, ripping her insides to lace. Blood bubbled from her mouth. The wood chips stirred, and her mind quickly focused on Befriend. The wood chips ruffled, and Befriend poked her tiny head out of the wood chips. In the real world, the gerbil tore through Shelley's stomach and crawled down her belly, descending lower.
This episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with A.P. Fuchs was brought to you by the letters A, P, and F. A, because you're awesome. P, because you're perfect just the way you are. And as a result, F, because you're now fun. So just be yourself, be awesome, be you, and be fun. So APF, yeah. And of course, the number 7. Because that's my favorite number. So this episode is brought to you by A, P, F, and 7. Hope you had a good time, and we'll see you next week for the new podcast. Enjoy your week to come. Take care, guys. Bye.